Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. Our next guest is a rock star in his field, and he came to our studio carrying a big backpack, and in it was a huge 40-pound mushroom called agaricon.
It's really, really hard. It sounds like wood, feels like wood. It's the longest living mushroom in the world. Grows up to 100 years of age. It travels with me. It's my best buddy. My name is Paul Stamets. I'm a research mycologist from Comilche Point, Washington, and I study primarily mushrooms and their role in the ecosystems.
Paul Stamets first fell in love with mushrooms in his mother's yard, where giant puffball mushrooms would sprout up after heavy rainfalls. He was attracted to their transient nature.
They come up very, very quickly, and most mushrooms disappear in about 5 days. And to find something that can feed you, that can kill you, that can send you on a spiritual journey, or that can heal you, something so potent and yet so ephemeral, people naturally fear that which they don't understand. And so there's been a lag in our public understanding of mushrooms as a result.
Stamets has devoted his entire career to better understanding fungi, and he's a tireless mushroom ambassador, explaining what fungi do for the planet and making a case that they could be used to correct many of the problems that ail us. Before we got into all that, I asked him to define what a mushroom is.
Well, the scientific definition of a mushroom is a fungus that reproduces spores with a fleshy structure. Basically, if you can see it and feel it, and it's fleshy, it's a fungus, then that's a mushroom-forming fungus. There's about 14,000 species we've identified so far, but DNA analysis suggests there's more than 150,000 species out there. So by that calculation, we've identified really less than 10% of the mushrooms that are resident in the ecosystem. Some of these mushrooms come up annually, like chanterelles and porcinis and matsutake. But many of these mushrooms remain resident, hidden in the ecosystem for decades, and may only appear, you know, once in a blue moon.
And many fungi we can't see at all.
Yeah, the majority of fungi tend to be microscopic fungi. They don't produce fruit bodies, is what the scientific term. Mushrooms are like the fruit of the fungus, like an apple is the fruit of a tree. And the pushed analogy is that the mycelium is the root-like structure that gives rise to the fruit body of the mushrooms, just like a tree has roots and gives rise to a fruit body. And fungi are the foundation of the food web. 70% of the microbes in soil are fungi.
What is the role of fungi on our planet? What do they do?
All plants are part fungi. People don't realize this, is that all 90% of all plants are infused with endophytic fungi that grow inside the plants to give it a host defensive resistance against pathogens and disease. There are the mycorrhizal fungi that extends the root zones literally thousands of times. And so plants that have fungi in the roots are able to usurp nutrients, minerals in particular, and they're rewarded with sugars. And so there's and then the saprophytic fungi are breaking down the wood debris. So when you look at the ecosystems, they're really fungally based. Fungi permeate all ecosystems. And people say, I don't like eating fungi. Well, stop eating plants, because all plants are part fungi, you know.
Is part of the job of mushrooms, of fungi, to break things down?
Right. They're the molecular decomposers of nature. They break down plant and animal material, and they dismantle them. This is going to show my age a little bit, but they're like little Pac-Mans that go around the ecosystem. They break down big organic molecules.
You did a very, very popular TED Talk in which you talked about ways mushrooms can help save the world.
I talked about the fact these mushrooms can gobble up bacteria. And we have an EPA grant that we've, and a paper that we've published, showing that mushrooms are selective in breaking down E. coli and also staph bacteria. Mushrooms also break down hydrocarbon-based pollutants, which includes oil slicks, petroleum spills, most herbicides, and insecticides. So they're very, very good in doing that. And because mushrooms unify with so many different plant communities, we can design mycological landscapes customized to the specific concerns of any community. So if you had a toxic waste spill, we have mushrooms that we can match to that. I've invented several different technologies, mycotechnologies, to break down oil. And I created mycobooms that can be floating in water that will break down oil slicks. So we're you know, doing lots of different things. And I published two papers on the novel antiviral properties of mushrooms and the novel antimicrobial properties of mushrooms. They had very potent antiviral activities that had not yet been explored. We have a treasure trove of new pharmaceutical agents, potentially. And the CDC contacted us specifically because, I don't know how else to say it other than saying they're freaked out by drug-resistant strains of pathogens evolving in hospitals. There's no very new good antibiotics on the horizon. And what agarikon and these other mushrooms offer is a complexity of antiviral and antimicrobial compounds. So it's much more expansive than people realize. I mean, these are, they're literally underneath every footstep that you take. They can be more than 6 miles of mycelium in a cubic inch of soil. These are extremely fine threads. And anybody listening now, just go outside and find an old log, tip it over. There's mycelium everywhere.
Paul Stamets is a mycologist and author. His website is fungi.com.